Yeah, I think there would have been a big walk-up to see Mo Farah. They haven't sold all the tickets for this event, but with it being such a nice afternoon, if Mo Farah had been competing, I'd imagine lots of people in the local area probably would have come down to see him. He was scheduled to run in the last race, which is a 1,500 metres race, but he's pulled out. He pulled out around about 10 o'clock this morning. It has been a difficult week for Mo Farah. I'm not sure what he could have done this week because, obviously, clearly the programme aired on Wednesday evening. No suggestion that Mo Farah had done anything wrong. He appeared at a press conference here in Birmingham yesterday where he said he was angry. He said his name was being dragged through the mud due to the association with his coach, Alberto Salazar. But he also said nothing's been proved. Salazar's been Farah's coach since 2011. The programme on the BBC, the Panorama documentary, alleged that Salazar had violated anti-doping rules. And all the controversy was centering really on Galen Rupp, who's Farah's training partner, who also won the silver medal in London behind Farah in the 10,000 metres. So Farah fronted up yesterday. We were expecting him to run this afternoon, but at 10 o'clock this morning, as announced, as he said, emotionally and physically drained. And he said he's heading back to the US to seek answers after what's been a stressful week and to concentrate on the World Championships, which must be his main focus later on this summer in August in Beijing.
And as you say, we know, you know, the history of doping athletics goes back a long, long way. But as far as himself, mud sticks, even though he has done nothing wrong.
Absolutely. Well, you say it goes back a long way. The rest of that Panorama programme, of course, concentrated on the gold medal winner at the 1980 Olympics in Moscow, Alan Wells, and suggestions that he was involved in doping as far back as 35 years ago now. And whilst we have to keep saying, of course, there's no suggestion that Mo Farah has done anything wrong, he's certainly not been found guilty of anything, it's that association. It's the association with his coach, the association with his training partner, and the allegations that have been levelled at this training camp that Mo Farah attends in Oregon. He's been with Salazar since 2011. We know, of course, what a fantastic performance he put in London to win the two gold medals, a double world champion as well. He's pretty much torn the track up wherever he's been in the last few years, Mo Farah. And now things unfortunately for him, appear to be unravelling around the setup around him, if you like. Mo Farah is not one of the athletes that's kind of in the central plan, if you like, for British athletics. He operates outside of the system, and these allegations have impacted, obviously, on British athletics, who are the hosts for this Diamond League meeting here in Birmingham this afternoon. And because he operates outside the system, of course, it's very difficult for people here to shed any light on what's really happening. But what we do know is Mo Farah, as far as we're aware, is heading back to the US to seek some answers.
So apart from Mo Farah, of course, one of the stars of London 2012, another one missing out today, Jessica Rennies-Hill, who made her comeback last weekend. And feeling the effects of that, has pulled out as well, of course, Sheffield's top athlete.
Yeah, pulled out earlier on this week. A real shame because she did so well in Gotsis in Austria last week. Heptathletes, remember, don't get many opportunities. Their body simply couldn't take many opportunities to compete in a full heptathlon. Gotsis is always a big meeting because it is a full heptathlon. And fantastic for Sheffield Rennies-Hill that she picked up those 6,520 points. She finished fourth, which essentially makes her the fourth best heptathlete in the world at the moment. And that points total means that she's qualified for the World Championships in Beijing, and she's also qualified already for the Olympics in Rio next summer. She was due here to compete in the 100 metres hurdles and the shot put as well. But she said, obviously, the strains of being in Austria, as we know, she's pretty much had 2 years out with injury and having her baby Reggie, of course, just couldn't pull it together to get here to Birmingham to compete today. Another huge frustration, I would say, for the organisers here, and another huge frustration as well for all the thousands of track and field and athletics fans turning up for this event this afternoon. And no Katarina Johnson-Thompson either. That will be the big battle. That will be one of the big sporting headlines, I think, of this summer. Johnson-Thompson against Ennis Hill at the World Championships in Beijing in the heptathlon later this year.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that one. So we've mentioned who isn't there this afternoon. Who are the big names we should be looking out for this afternoon in the track and field in Birmingham?
Well, the two big British names, there are some big international names. Unfortunately, a couple of those have dropped out as well. But let's talk, as you said, about the ones here. The two big British names to look out for, both sprinters. Dina Asher-Smith, she's going to be a name that we're going to be talking about in the build-up to Rio, I think. She's the new British 100 metres record holder. She's the world junior champion. She's the fastest British woman in history, of course, now. She's just 19 years old. She's here and competing, as is Adam Jamili. Now, he clocked a 9.97 seconds for the 100 metres at the Bedford International Games. But the wind speed, unfortunately for him, made that record invalid. He's the only British sprinter to run a sub-10 second 100 metres and a sub-20 second 200 metres. And he will run here against Richard Kilty of Middlesbrough. And Kilty, remember, is the world and European indoor 60-metre champion.
Middlesbrough, of course, we claim as Yorkshire when someone's doing well, so we'll be looking out for him. Any other Yorkshire interest on the track this afternoon?
There are three other athletes that you'll be familiar with that here this afternoon. Lee Emmanuel, who's a graduate of the Sheffield Hallam University. He was due to compete against Mo Farah in the 1,500 metres. The long jump's always an interesting one because there's a bit of needle between Middlesbrough's Chris Tomlinson, who had his British record snatched by the Olympic champion Greg Rutherford. Both of those are here today. Rutherford, I would suggest, now is top of the bill, the biggest domestic name, but he himself has been struggling with some injury in the build-up to this one. So whether he actually completes his long jump today, we're not sure, but he says he will make a few jumps. And the other lead face, Laura Waitman, is the other name, a medalist at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow last summer. She competes in the 1,500 metres as well.
So this is an important event then in the build-up, obviously Rio next year, but the World Championships as well you've mentioned coming up. Which are the potential World Champions we should be looking out for this afternoon?
I'm not sure that there'll be many World Champions or in action here in Birmingham this afternoon. I think Greg Rutherford, from a domestic point of view, he is probably the key name, and probably with Farah out and Ennis Hill out as well, he's probably the main hope that we've got for being top of the podium in Beijing that we'll see here in Birmingham this afternoon. A lot of people think that Greg Rutherford was a bit of a flash in the pan, if you like. He was the Super Saturday name that no one really expected to win a gold medal in London at the Olympics. There was all the focus on Ennis, as she was then, and Farah. And Greg Rutherford, on that magnificent Saturday night in East London, managed to do it as well. And a lot of people kind of said it was a little bit fluky, a little bit of, as I said, flash in the pan. But you can't dismiss what Greg Rutherford has done. He is the reigning European, he is the reigning Commonwealth, and he is the reigning Olympic champion. He's the British record holder as well. He only needs that World Championships to complete the set. And when you think what a technical discipline long jump is, millimetres could be the difference between a medal and not being on the podium. You know, to have those three titles, the European, the Commonwealth and the Olympic title, to your name, and to be going hopefully in good form and in good shape for the World Championships later this summer, I don't think you can take away, you can't underestimate just how good an athlete, just how good a long jumper Greg Rutherford is.